Let us turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. By the way, I forgot to print the passage in the newsletter, so the passage printed there was actually from last week. John 3, verses 12 to 15. Here Jesus said to Nicodemus, "I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Now the earthly things are the new birth." Verse 13. "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus is here referring to himself. He is the one who has come down from heaven. Now, our passage, verses 14 to 15. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." In the three short catechism questions here, they are about how the Holy Spirit applies the work Christ has accomplished, the salvation, the redemption by his death. And we are told it's the Holy Spirit who convinces us that we are sinful and miserable. Are you convinced tonight? And then the Holy Spirit shows us Christ, and shows us that Christ is so dear and precious, so that we may receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 3 here, it is called the new birth. It may sound the simplest of things in the world. It is. However, my dear friends, because of our sinfulness and our unbelief and the darkness in our minds, that is the last thing people will believe. It may take the smartest of men and women to hear the gospel for many, many years before they came to realize, really, it is for me, and by grace, and in Christ, and not of my works. And now I embrace Christ. A dear sister here in our congregation, who is very educated, in her testimony, she said, "It took me a long while to understand. It is not by my spiritual good behavior, but purely, purely by Christ alone." And we must never, ever consider the new birth apart from Christ and his work on the cross. That's why you notice here, in John chapter 3, after Jesus talks about the new birth, he goes on to talk about the lifted up serpent. In verse 14, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert." The first thing we are going to consider tonight is the bronze snake in Numbers 21. Only five verses or so, but there is a very interesting passage. In Numbers 21, we are told, the people of Israel were in the wilderness, and they got discouraged again. Nothing new. And they complained again. Nothing new. And they were saying to Moses, and through Moses to God, "This is a terrible way to live. There's no bread, there's no water." Lie. They got water, otherwise they won't survive. They got bread. It's not baker's delight, but manna from heaven. The first few days when they got manna from heaven, they were so excited. But after a while, they got bored. Can you just imagine, my dear friends, every day you got water and this bread from heaven? Bread is bread is bread. There's no garlic. There's no onion. Either you steam manna, or you deep fry manna, or you barbecue manna, it is still manna, and every day is that. Dear mothers here, suppose every day you cook chicken wings. After half a year, what will your children say to you? They're going to say to you, "Mom, what are we going to eat tonight? Chicken wings." But can you imagine eating chicken wings for 40 years? So the people got sick of this manna. They said, "We don't like this. This is a terrible way to live." They complained and grumbled. And they've been in the desert for many years. My dear friend, isn't that what we are like? When we talk with each other tonight, is it not likely that we say, "Well, I got this trouble and that trouble, family trouble, work trouble, another trouble. My life is not good." Isn't that you, my dear friends? Isn't that what we are like? Oh, if I can change my circumstances. If I can have a girlfriend, things will be better. If I got a better girlfriend, if I got a wife, if I got a better wife, if I got a job, if I got a better job, if I don't live in Sydney, oh, the list goes on, isn't it? This is what we are like. And the Lord is not happy with that. My friends, we need to know God is not happy with our grumbling and our discontentment. So much so that here, when the Lord heard their complaint, He sent His judgment on them. He sent poisonous snakes to bite the people, and the people were starting to die. This is how serious the sin of grumbling and murmuring really are. We need to cry to God, "Lord, you forgive us of our sins of grumbling." The people were dying, but they got enough sense when they were dying to come back to Moses and to say to Moses, "Please forgive us." And Moses went to God. When we sin, we should go to Christ and cry out for His prayer, for His intercession. We should say to God, "Lord, forgive me." And in this case, God did something really amazing. God told Moses, "You go to make a bronze snake and put it up high on a pole and ask the people who have been bitten by the snakes to look to the bronze snake. When they look at the bronze snake, they will be healed." Absolutely amazing. Won't you expect God to say to Moses, "Make a lamb, put it up on a pole, so that people should look at the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world"? Now we expect that, isn't it? Or we expect God to say, "Well, maybe Moses, you make a cross, so that people would look to the cross, and they would leave." But in this case, it's a snake. a snake. A snake. Now, when we read the Bible, we discover that God often does things which we don't expect. And here Jesus says to Nicodemus, I am that snake. Now, suppose if Jesus did not say that in John 3, and we got Mr. Iskander preaching to us, and he picked the passage in Numbers 21, the bronze snake in the desert, and then he said, well, Jesus is that snake. I guess we're going to scratch our head and say, oh, Mr. Iskander, really? You know, Mr. Iskander is a deep Bible teacher. He often leads us to the Old Testament, to the most obscure places, the wherever and so on, and we say, sometimes, never come across that. Never thought that would be referring to Christ, and we need to think. We should think, not accept everything the preacher says. But I guess if he should say the bronze snake is Jesus, we are going to say, this is far too much. But Jesus says, I am that snake. From the bronze snake, we learn a number of things about faith in Christ. You can look at the news letter. First of all, faith in Christ is born out of the need for deliverance from judgment. John 3:14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. My dear friends, suppose you were there in the desert. You murmur, you complain, and knowing all of us, in some ways, I guess, maybe most of us would be complaining, grumbling in those days. And you were dying. You were gasping for your last breath. You know you're in deep trouble. And you heard the announcement by Moses. Look at this snake. You look at it, the Lord says, you will live. My dear friend, what would you do? I know what I would do. I would look at the snake and leave. I think you would also look at the snake and leave. I guess you won't be so stubborn and say, why the snake? The snake is the snake in Genesis 3, the tempter. The snake is a symbol of curse. Why the snake? Moses, you tell us why. I guess if you were dying, you won't say that. You would just look and leave. Won't you? I'm sure you would. But suppose you were not bitten by the snake. You were perfectly well. What would you do? I guess you too would look at the snake and say, this is amazing. I can't understand why. Why the snake? Why not a lamb? The Passover lamb? I don't understand. If you were not in trouble, you would look at the snake with interest, amazement, curiosity, but not with faith. But if you were in trouble, if you were dying, and you know you couldn't save yourself, you saw other people were dying, You would look at the snake with faith and you say to the Lord, Lord, save me. You promise if I should look at your snake, I would leave. Let me leave. I want to leave and see my children growing up. I don't want to die. Oh Lord God, save me. My dear friends, tonight, if you have felt, if you are feeling your own sinfulness and helplessness, you have tried to improve yourself, you have tried to pray, you have tried to read the Bible, you have tried to be a godly man or woman, you try to be good, but you know you have failed, and deep in your heart, you know you are a sinner, you know you are in trouble, then look unto Jesus. And cry to Christ, Lord, save me. I believe He will. Though you may feel nothing immediately, because we know God does not lie. So the question to you tonight is this, my friends, are you sinful? Are you helpless? Do you feel you are under God's judgment? Then look unto Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And my dear friends, let me assure you, first of all, you are sinful. Secondly, that you are under God's judgment because all of us have to die. The wages of sin is death. Now let me assure you one more thing. You cannot save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Many people have tried. I don't think any one of us has tried as hard as Martin Luther. He tried to save himself. He became a monk. He could be a lawyer and became a monk. He fasted. He purposely didn't have enough blanket and clothing in Germany in winter. He said the Lord's Prayer so many times in Latin. He went to pilgrimage. He tortured himself. But he could not save himself. So friends, we cannot save ourselves. Only Christ can. And we should look to Him. That is the easiest thing to do in the world, isn't it? Just look unto Jesus. God does not ask us to memorize 10 verses of the Bible. Maybe we cannot memorize 10 verses of the Bible. God does not ask us to pray for 30 minutes each day. He just asks you and I to look to Christ. But then, in a sense, that is the hardest thing to do in the world because of our pride. You say to Christ, I will look to you later. Why later? Because you don't want to have Christ now. But don't do it later. Do it now. As you sit in the pew. Now, secondly, faith in the lifted up one. Again, in verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The bronze snake. Why the snake? If the people should press Moses and ask him, Moses, our pastor, our teacher, you tell us why a snake? You know what Moses would say? I don't know. Stupid, just look at the snake. Don't ask. But why the snake? Well, the people will have to wait another 1400 years and more before they should understand. Back to the snake. The first time we come across snake in the Bible is in Genesis 3. The devil disguised himself as a snake, tempted Eve and Adam, and they sinned. And God cursed the snake. The snake is under God's curse. I guess we naturally don't like snakes. One of my friends in university days told me he got a lecturer. And he got many snakes as pets in his room, in his staff room at the Sydney University. Well, Sydney University got all sorts of strange people. I won't tell you all the strange things they do. But imagine someone had 40, 50 snakes in his room, in uni, as pets. Why the snake? Because Jesus became the curse of God when he took our sins upon himself. Look at Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. That's the reason. Because the Son of God who became man, when he was hung on the cross, he was a curse of God. He became curse of God. Luther again said, the cross is the most dirty thing in the world. Luther liked to say things to shock us. What he means is this. He said, look at the cross. Can't you see adulteries there, nailed on the cross? Unfaithfulness, unbelief, murder, lies, all those sins were nailed to Christ, and Christ was nailed to the cross. He was accursed by God. And the Lord is asking us to look to Christ as the one who is accursed of God for us. That we should say to Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, you took my sins. You took my guilt. You died my death. My dear friends, can you say that tonight to Christ? Lord Jesus, you have taken my dishonesty, my lust, my impurities, my spiritual laziness, my worldliness. You took them all upon your cross, and there you suffered and died for me. But then, interestingly enough, Jesus says he is to be lifted up. He is to be lifted up. When Moses lifted up the snake, the bronze snake, was honored and exalted. So when Jesus was lifted up, even though he was accursed by God, he was also his glory moment. He was shame and glory at the same time. He was apparent defeat, but actual victory. He was humiliation, but at the same time, his glory. It's very interesting to notice in John's Gospel, Whenever it's talked about Jesus' death, his going to the cross, it always refers to his glory. He's going up to his Father. He's being glorified. Tonight, oh friends, if we trust in Christ, we believe the cross is Christ's glory and our glory. We have a Savior who bore our sins and is glorified. Our glory is in the suffering Savior. Our glory is in his apparent defeat. You know, Muslims think this is utterly stupid stuff. Muslims believe in a victorious prophet, Muhammad, and people like him. We go out to conquer with the sword. And you Christians believe in a defeated Savior on the cross. We say to them, no, it's not defeat. It's victory through suffering. It's conquest through love. That's why we don't take out a sword to convert Muslims to become Christians. What do? We go to them and pour on them our love to win them over to Christ. You humiliate me and my Christ, I'm going to love you even more. On September 11, 2001, immediately after that, John Piper in America said something utterly outrageous. He told America, what happened in New York, September 11, is God calling us to lay down our lives for Muslims. That's outrageous. Outrageously glorious in John Piper's terminology. Now lastly, the result of that faith. That everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. What a blessing on that day. When the people in the wilderness were dying, they looked up to the bronze snake and they lived. So, my dear friends, tonight, we look to Christ in our helplessness, in our sinfulness, in our failures. We look to Christ and we shall have eternal life. Let us pray. We have sinned against you. We have drunk too much. We have gossiped. We have grumbled. We have complained. We have loved money. We have been spiritually lazy. We have been lacking of faith and lacking of love. We have been slow to believe. But now, in our helplessness, we come to you, O blessed Savior. And we look to you, O we pray that you may give us life. Speak to us, blessed Holy Spirit, apply the work of redemption Christ has accomplished in our own hearts. Convince us of our sins and lead us to the Savior. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.